Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the stuff we didn't get to during the course of the show today, you might have noticed if you've listened to the podcast, the absence of Betty Rock. She is out sick today, but we did determine that from an actual chiropractor that you can get flu and like cold symptoms after you get adjusted.
I mean, anytime she just wants a sick day, she's just going to start going to the chiropractor. She starts going way more often.
I would have called shenanigans on all of that if she didn't look so bad. Like yesterday,
she hadn't used 50-60 tissues.
Yeah, she was not herself. She was not good. I knew yesterday, like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get that text. And so she used to wait, you know, when she would call in until like 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I always hated my phone going off because it was like last minute. But this time she's like, I don't think I'm going to make it in.
I personally am glad because, yeah, there's a difference between knowing that you're coming in to do like a little bit of extra work versus, you know, at 5 in the morning showing up and you're like, oof, day got a little bit tougher.
Yeah, because it definitely affects everybody else when either any of us are gone. It's funny because my wife was like, Betty's sick. I heard Betty's sick because Betty had called her about something else. And my wife was like, did she take a COVID test? I'm like, why are you worried about COVID? Remember that? That's done.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, it's still very contagious and people get sick really fast. And she's like, I'm going to see Haley. And so Marty doesn't want to get sick. So Marty is treating me like a leper
now.
Because when it comes to going to see Haley, she doesn't want anything to get in the way of that, you know? And like, so like, I'm going to probably have to keep my distance like all weekend from her because she leaves
so
Tuesday.
Silly.
I think so too. I'm like, but then this morning, sure enough, I woke up and I had like that taste in my throat. I'm like, man, and my nose was running and stuff. I'm like, I think it's just allergies.
But yeah, and you most every morning, I feel like actually
every day
we walk in and it's just hard. Your body has to adjust to being alive again in the morning. But I'm in the same boat where I woke up and I was congested.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I'm like, man, the two people that I am in closest proximity to in this world right now are Betty, like physically,
because
I sit next to her in work. And then Haley, they're both sick.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm fighting tooth and nail not to get it.
Yeah, so then with Marty, I always, when I leave the house, she's still kind of groggy. And so I kissed her on the forehead when I left today. And so I'm like, okay, love, I love you. I'll see you later. I'll be home soon. And I kiss her on the forehead, and she's like, wait, why'd you kiss me on the forehead? Like, literally goes from, like, dead asleep almost.
To alert.
Zombie to, why'd you kiss me on the forehead? I'm like, oh. I'm like, well... My I just have like sinus stuff. And she's like, are you getting sick? I'm like, I don't think so. She's like, go take medicine. So I literally went and took cold medicine today.
Oh, really?
I did. I know how important it is to her to see Haley. And I don't want to be the cause of anything like that. Because I'm like, you know Betty. Betty wiped down. She touched Gavin's stuff yesterday for work and instantly wiped it all down. If anybody is conscientious of trying not to get others sick, it's definitely her. Me, like when I'm sick and I come to work, maybe it's just rude. I don't think of that stuff. I just come in and do my job and then I go home. But she's like, disinfect everything.
Well, it's tough too because, I mean, having a cold sucks.
Yeah.
I think it sucks. But I also, in the back of my head, don't think it's a very big deal.
No, exactly. It's annoying more than anything. Hers, she definitely didn't feel good. Like,
no, I think it'll be...
Which I think she has COVID, but she'll never take a test.
And her thing, too, and I think like in the sense that what she deserves is that she is always sick on, you know, holiday vacations.
Last three ones.
When you just don't want to and shouldn't be sick. So I feel like there's a little bit of justice in her getting sick in not holidays.
I feel bad for her on this one, but she should be on the mend and be back on Monday.
Before support drive.
Oh, I know. Next week. Yay. So there's a story that was weird. I wasn't sure why it was going on per se. Okay. So a horrible story from 2021. That kid that shot up his school and killed four students and injured others. And then you see the trial now is not of him. He's already been convicted and got life. But his mom and her husband are on trial for involuntary manslaughter in connection with the shooting that was done by her 15-year-old son.
Oof.
And you're like, what in the world? Like, and so what they're trying to do is prove that she was a negligent mother to then punish her because she had done something wrong and that made him do something wrong. And so she didn't see the warning signs, didn't stop everything. And so she deserves to be punished too. I'm like, this is a hard world where we punish people for other people's you know, mistakes and crimes or sins. That's a hard one for me on this one. There's only one part of this that did land with me that I thought, well, okay, maybe this is the justification, but I'll go through a little bit of it first. So the kid has a journal, you know, and he's talking about not getting help and no one's helping me. My mom's not helping me. But that, I mean, that's what kids are always going to say. No one cares. No one loves me. No one helps me. And then he, in the journal, was like, I'm going to shoot up this school and stuff. And so they're like, look, it was all right here. But his journal, she didn't even really had it. You know, like you can't be like held accountable for something you didn't know existed. Well, and writings you never saw.
The general idea, yeah, of a journal is that like parents aren't like, oh, well, let me see that on like a daily or weekly basis so I make sure you're okay. But I mean, stuff like this might lead parents to start doing stuff like that. But
yeah, you break the trust with your kids that aren't the shooters, and then it fractures your, you know, relationship, which is tough. And I mean, at the heart of all of this, I think everybody is trying to figure out a way to avoid this from happening in the future. So if we go after the parents, maybe the parents will be more cognizant of their role with their kids, and you can't be hands-off parents. And maybe that's the thought behind it. I don't know. But Jennifer was in court. And what's really crazy is she had been at the school that day. She had a meeting with the guidance counselor, and they all decided that he didn't need to go home that day. He could stay in school. Like, I guess there had been an incident. And so to me, it's like, well, the guidance counselor is every bit as responsible and culpable in this sense, instance, because he didn't send the kid home. Like, he's like, oh, no, he's good. He's not a threat. And then the shooting happened. So everybody along the lines missed the steps here. And there's like, you know, things about him saying he heard voices, and the mom's like, I never heard him say that. He thought the house was haunted and would draw pictures of demons and stuff. And you go, okay, that's creepy. But I also know like every kid in the 80s listening to Iron Maiden had that on their you know, wall too, or their drawings. And so again, it's real murky here. But her statement was really jarring. She says, as a parent, you spend your whole life trying to protect your children from other dangers. Mm. You never would think you have to protect your child from harming somebody else. That's what blew my mind. That was the hardest I had to stomach, is that my child harmed and killed other people. Mm. And it seems like she's taking, like, she feels bad and taking responsibility. And then they ask, would you do anything different? She says, no, I wouldn't. Which, on the stand, you're probably the lawyer's like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
'Cause you never want to seem like you're not at fault kind of thing, or remorseful. But she says, I've asked myself if I would have done anything differently, and I wouldn't. I wish he would have killed us instead. Like, there's a jarring statement, you know, from this mom. And I'm hoping that that maybe carries a little bit of weight or something inside of this. But I think the one thing that as I looked into this story a little bit, and again, I haven't dove into it, but I'm like, why would they have this, the parents on trial like this? And what it comes down to, I think, is that the parents bought a gun for their kid. And that's probably where it comes down. Like, responsible gun ownership, you need to lock away your guns. I don't think the kid was a minor. And so, like, they bought him a gun. And so that's where I have a feeling is the linchpin in this whole case, because you haven't seen many other parents. The only other parent you saw that was brought to trial recently was the mom with the six-year-old that shot that teacher. She held on trial because she was negligent with her weapon. I mean, at the end of the day, man, if you have kids, you have to lock that up if you have guns. I grew up in a house with guns, but back then, they were never locked up. I knew exactly where they were in my dad's closet. Like, I knew exactly where they were. We used them at work for shooting snakes and things like that. And so I've been shooting guns since I was a kid.
Sure.
But I also was always told that I was never to touch those when he wasn't around. And I abided by that.
How old were you when he, you know, responsible is like, okay, I'm going to teach you use these things?
Oh, jeez. I mean, probably somewhere between 8 and 10.
Okay.
Like, out on the job site. Because we had a construction company. Yeah. And so no one was around. We'd go shoot cans. And, you know, he taught me how to shoot stuff. And, I mean, one time I had a 410 shotgun. It's a small shotgun. And it's called a snake charmer. And I was working. And we did dredging. And so your filling up land. You're taking sand and water out of a lake, pumping it to the land to make the land higher so mm-hmm. you can build on it. So I was working. I think I was probably like 16 at the time. 16 or 17, I was working. And we're pumping all this water, and I was down by the edge, and it got into like this rattlesnake like nest. Mm. And all of a sudden, I'm surrounded by rattlesnakes, but I had my gun yeah. with me,
snake
and
timer.
I'm literally shooting snakes all around me to keep from getting bit.
Oh,
you know, and I'm like, I'm thankful I had it, and, yeah. I, and somehow I managed to not shoot my foot either, which I was really happy about. You know, and so, like, again, I was responsible. I never had guns in my house when my daughter was young because out of respect for my wife hated them mm-hmm. and never wanted anything to do with them. And ironically, years later, after her father passed away, we found a medal that he won for being a sharpshooter.
That's ironic. That is
yeah,
ironic.
Because she's like, why do you want to do this? I'm like, I like shooting. I like the target practice sure. of it. Sure, I like the idea of having this instead of a bat in my home for protection. Absolutely. I don't want to grab a bat or a knife to protect my home. But I enjoy target shooting. And so I, out of respect for her, waited till Haley left. But man, it was a fight between me and her, like for me to win her over, I guess you could mm-hmm. say, because my buddy and I wanted to shoot together. And so then his wife didn't care. She doesn't care. Yeah, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And so we would be playing cards and we would be talking about it. And then Marty would feel ganged up on. And she got really mad at me one night. And she's like, fine, just do it. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do it now because that makes no sense. Now I know I can't. And so finally I had to calm her down. And then I offered to take her because she's like, you don't know what those places are. I'm like, those are safe places, man.
Yeah.
Like that, I feel really safe at the gun range.
It's as safe as it gets.
Yeah, because everybody's responsible. And I remember one time I walked in with my rifle in my bag. It's in a bag, but I had the tip facing back, not downrange, but it's not loaded, it's nothing. And the guy's like, hey, turn your gun around. I'm like, okay, sorry, sir, did not know, you know? And so I think once she went to one of the places to buy a hat for me, mm-hmm. and she realized it wasn't a bunch of militant radicals, yeah. you know, shooting up things, and was like, oh, okay, I get it now. And so now she doesn't love it, but she's not against it.
Sure.
And she knows I'm responsible. So, but again, all of that to say, like, if you're going to own guns, you got to be yeah. responsible with them because accidents do happen. But it'll be interesting to see how that story shakes out. I did not know about this, Gavin. You're probably more in tune than I am. Did you hear of the beef between Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake?
I just read that
you did?
There
okay.
was something, and I just didn't know that. Because they dated in
when they were littles.
A long time
yeah,
ago, right?
When they were okay. littles, yeah. yeah. So apparently, she did a memoir in her book and said some things about him that he probably didn't take very well. Mm-hmm. And I guess she had even did like an apology to him. And I guess he did not accept it because during a show in New York, it was like his birthday and he's on stage. And Cry Me a River was a song that he did apparently about the breakup with Britney. Mm-hmm. It's supposedly Cry Me a River. And he said, I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Nicely done.
And so Brittany caught wind of it, and then she unapologized, which is so great.
You can do that?
Yeah, she apologized. It's nice to know. It's nice to know you have that card to play. Someone told me someone was talking a lot of crud about me on the streets. Oh, yeah, that always happens in the streets. Brittany, seriously, you're a millionaire. Stop talking like you're tough. Do you want to bring it to the court or will you go home and cry to your mom last time? I'm not sorry. She's just like still like trying to emasculate him. Did you go cry to mommy? Oh, it's so good. So I didn't even know that they had beef, but it sounds like it landed with him. So we'll see how these two kids shake out. Gavin, do you have any birthdays?
There were no birthdays listed for today.
That's
I can
easy.
Do it. Quick question if you want.
Please, let's do one.
Do that. This question was, would you ever want to be a twin brother or twin sister? Would you rather have one of those? And then I think this person said, bless Wally's mom if there was two of him.
Oh my gosh,
like
you're
if
not
you
kidding.
Had been two of you. But what would you want? Would you want to be a twin?
I'd probably be that twin that consumed the other one in the
you
womb.
You probably already did that.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I think there's times that it seems like it would have been cool. Like my wife was like, oh, I would have liked to have been a twin. But like Betty, when you asked her as a kid if she wanted to be an only child, the answer is yes. Now she regrets it.
Yeah.
I think my daughter's going to have the same thing one day. Like, she wanted to be an only child, but I think she'll regret it. And if she wanted to be a twin,
I don't know. She has to take care of you guys on her own someday.
Yeah, that's not fun, man. I hope I go long before it gets to that point, honestly. Gavin, would you want to be a twin?
I would not. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like there's a sense of, you know, individuality that sure. is fun and just being myself. And I wouldn't, I love my siblings for who they are. I wouldn't need to, yeah. I wouldn't need two of me.
There is a weird thing, like some twins do it really well and they maintain their own identity, mm-hmm. even though like from the time you're born, your parents dress you alike and everything's the same, same birthday, same thing, yeah. same thing. I think that part of it would drive me nuts because mm-hmm. I'm a super individualistic person.
Yeah.
And I would not want to be seen as somebody else. I'm always amazed, too, by the difference in twins sometimes. Mm-hmm. You've got the one that's, like, really super studious and then the one that's, like, sporty or something yeah. like that. So that I think it would have been interesting to have twins as just a social experiment.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey.
I mean, Haley really wanted to have twins.
Oh, that's right. You guys found out you're having a kid, but only one.
Yeah, she wanted to be.
Oh.
She only wanted to be pregnant once. Totally get that. This process has been not fun to watch.
And it will get worse.
Exactly. But I mean, we went and did the ultrasound, and I mean, I felt a sense of victory when I saw just one little
yes.
life form there.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to be tie game right out the gate. And she's like, well, if you know you're a parent of twins, you'll never know you know, the difference between that and parenting one kid. I'm like, I think I will.
If you weren't gonna have a bunch of kids to do it all at one time, it would be overwhelming. If you have parents to help you and stuff, it'd be great. But like, it would be nice to be done with it like one time.
Right away, yeah.
If you knew you wanted more than one. But for us, like, we had one and my wife was super clear. Like right after that, she's like, I'm not doing this again.
We had that conversation on the phone. I was driving home and talked to her. I was like, do you see yourself, you know, like, would you be okay with just one kid right now? I know you're answering in the moment of being pregnant, which probably isn't the most, sound judgment on your end, in your head. But she's like, I could see just doing one.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'll tell you, we had advantages of just doing one because it is getting more expensive to raise a kid and college and weddings and all this other stuff. Like, having one allowed us to do more things with her and give her great experiences and things like that. So I love that. I thought that was great. And for me, I like to focus on things. And so I could focus all on this one, you know, kid. And so for us, it just worked. But it's not for everybody. You know, I came from a family of five kids, you know, and I always thought I would have a big family. Yeah. And because I loved the chaos of it when I was a kid. And then I met my wife and I would go home to her house on the weekends and see her family, and it was quiet and serene and calm, and I could fall asleep on a couch without my brother punching me in the face, you know. And it was like, this is so great. And so when my wife was like, let's just have one, I'm like, you know what, I'm down. I'm totally down with this, which I never thought, because I loved the chaos as a kid, but as an adult I like the calm.
Sure. I think that, I mean, I'm about to find out what that feels like, but I think that it's going to be nice to start life with just like one kid and just learn from that and, you know, pass one off. And, you know, I just couldn't imagine, oh, I'm gone all day and Haley's got to take care of two.
Sure. That's a lot.
It's hard. Yep. It's understandable if I'm home.
Yeah.
But if I'm not, or if she's not, I definitely don't think I could hold two kids at a time. And you put one down while the other's crying, all this stuff. It just does not.
Yeah,
and our family's not anywhere close. I am so glad it's just one.
All right, well, let's wrap it up here with Weekend Plans. Weekend plans. Everyone's got them. Weekend plans. Oh, Gavin with the high harmony.
I forgot that we were
doing that. Well, like, I am I'm still working on this thing I'm building, and so I'm going to be doing some building in the garage and going down and getting some parts that I need. I'm enjoying, like, building stuff right now. I'm back. Like, I'm like, oh, I want to do some wood projects again.
Yeah, you took a little time off.
I did.
I felt like. Maybe, like, after when it came to you finished some Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
Because I thought you built something for
Christmas. I did, yeah. I did build some stuff for Christmas. But then my wife, we cleaned out our computer table, and because she has a laptop now, so she doesn't need the big iMac. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about getting rid of my table that I built. It's a beautiful live-edge table with cedar beams as legs. Like, I love this thing. And she's like, yeah, I mean, we just don't need it there anymore. I'm like, Well, we don't need any of your stuff either. Yeah. Like, I like this thing, man.
I put my blood, sweat, and tears into that.
I know.
Huh?
I'm like, put a lamp on it. It'll look nice. It's a table in the living room. It's fine. So I think she was actually in her head was thinking we were going to sell that. And then yesterday when we did all of our cleaning, I'm like, I said, let me just be clear that I don't want to get rid of this. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, no, we can keep it.
She's like, I guess.
I know.
She didn't hit you with like, oh, you can make another.
I know I could, but I like this one. This one was really good. I mean, I guess I could sell it, but I kind of don't want to.
So. No, it's something you put actual effort into. It's different than, you know, a table from IKEA that's 7 years old. Or...
Yeah, like if you look at my house, there's so many pieces of furniture that I've built, you know, and I like that. I mean, I still even have the very first piece of furniture that I built for her. She asked me to build something because we saw it at Z Galleries and it was expensive. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I think I could do that. Now, could I do it better than I did then? Absolutely.
Sure.
I've learned a ton and I would make it way better. But it's still the first piece. Like, I don't want to get rid of it. And fortunately, she loves, doesn't want to get rid of it either. But there's a lot of stuff I built in my house. But so that's pretty much it for me. But you've got something planned already.
Yeah, my wife texted me this morning. She's like, it's a beautiful day outside. Why don't you book a tee time and we'll
love that.
Go out to the course. She's like, I don't know how much I'll be able to swing or if I'll swing at all, but I wouldn't mind driving the golf cart.
Nice.
Letting me go out there and play probably 9 holes. I would not ever dream of stretching that to 18.
That's love. I mean, that's nice.
It is.
She's like, all right, let's go do this together.
Yeah, I appreciate that from her. And then we have
my wife wants to sell my stuff. You're getting tee times.
She's good at what she does. But then I think she's got a book club thing tonight, but she's not been feeling super good. We just got a text from one of the other couples that they're not doing good. I could see them canceling it, but I guess we'll kind of see.
Book club.
Yes.
My wife is in a book club.
Yeah.
Once a month, I guess, or once every couple months,
yeah.
I think, they do it. So my wife yesterday goes, oh, I'm almost done with my book. I was asking her a question. She's like, I'm almost done with my book. Let me finish this, and then we can do that thing. I said, okay, that's great. Good on you. And I'm like, wait, you just finished a whole book. Is this the one you just started like 2 days ago? Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah. I'm like, how do you? It's so far outside of the realm of possibility to me as someone who struggles with reading to read an entire book in 2 or 3 days.
Sure.
I cannot fathom that.
I used to read the Hunger Games, for example.
Yeah.
I know they're a little bit on the younger side when it comes to books. I would read those in a day.
What?
Would family drive out to, you know, South Carolina from Louisiana. It's 8 hours, and I would just plow through that thing. These days, I read probably one book a week.
That is crazy. I don't see how anyone, I guess because it takes me so long to read the simplest thing, that it would take me months to read a book.
Sure.
Because I don't enjoy it.
Well, yeah, no, if you don't enjoy it, and I for a long time there, I did not. I just wasn't interested. I wanted to turn the television on. I wanted to watch a good TV show because it's just a little less active when it comes to, you know, what you need to put into it. But then my buddy's like, oh, like you should start reading this, and I wanted to better connect with him. So I started reading it, loved it, and now it's just a fun way to connect with other people too.
Wow.
And Haley is like, their book club is a book that like I recommended, and it's an all girls book club, but they were like, you
checks
come.
Out
they were like, you should come by sometime.
You could be our guest.
And it wasn't like a girls book.
Sure.
It's like a sci-fi epic war book, and they
I recommended a book for girls book club and they took it. Do you hear it when you say it?
I
hope you hear it when you say it. All right, there you go. That's going to have to do it for your aftercast, and thanks for being a potty. So we got our friend Andy Irwin on the show with us, and he's the guy behind the movie I Can Only Imagine, and now he has a new movie out called Ordinary Angels starring Hilary Swank, and she is great, by the way. And her passion for this film really comes through in her character, who's like this broken mess, but God still uses her to accomplish a miracle in the life of a desperate single father whose daughter is in need of a liver transplant. True story, by the way. Now, the one thing I love about you, Andy, is that your movies are not preachy. I would put this somewhere like, you got Blindside at one end, and you've got War Room at the other. You guys are ahead of Blindside on the faith, but way under War Room, you know? But it's done in a way that's like accessible and not off-putting, and it's not heavy-handed.
I think it preaches as good as any of the films that we've done.
Because I know your heart is not to water down the gospel.
No. Our heart is to be strategic. This one was really about trying to understand this everyman kind of blue-collar guy that had a relationship with God but was just burnt out.
Yep.
And he felt like he'd lost lost faith in the church and lost faith in God really seeing him and being there for him. So it's kind of that skeptic that's outside the church walls that we want to reach.
Well, you do a great job of that, and it reached into my chest and punched me in the heart in the first 3 minutes. It's a great movie, and it will be in theaters February 23rd, and you can actually get tickets now at ordinaryangels.movie.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.